The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Hi there, it's Pat Kenny here. I'm excited to tell you that our new weekend morning show is almost upon us. And I want to thank you for your patience as we ensure that everything is just so. Every Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m, I'll be setting the agenda for your weekend, blending engaging guests with news and current affairs and a sprinkling of culture in the mix as well. And to keep up with everything on the show, all you have to do is keep following this very podcast feed, either on the Go Loud app or wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, please enjoy some more from the deep archive of the last dozen years of weekday mornings. As Trump and MAGA Republicans continue to transform the political establishment, many ask, where are the Democrats in all of this? While some appear to be in hiding to wait out Trump or trying to play by an old political rulebook, one Democrat has decided not to play by the rules, and that is Gavin Newsom. The governor of California has unlocked a new strategy for exciting Democratic voters online and getting under the Republican skin, and that is by acting like President Donald Trump, whether it's tweeting in all caps on X, sharing AI-generated images of himself on Mount Rushmore, or fighting with Republican states on their crime rates. And Newsom signed California's new redistricting plan that could slash 5 Republican-held House seats to counter Texas's mid-decade redraw of its congressional map.
We got here because the President of the United States is struggling. We got here because the President of the United States is one of the most unpopular presidents in U.S. history. We got here because he recognizes that he will lose the election. Congress will go back into the hands of the Democratic Party next November. We got here because of his failed policies. Those are being exposed hour by hour, reinforced today by Walmart announcing they'll be raising prices because of the tax increases, because of the tariffs. Reminded every day by a slowing economy, growing mistrust, distrust all across this nation, across the board, he is failing. He recognized that, and that's why he made a phone call to Greg Abbott, asking for 5 seats. Can't win by playing by traditional sets of rules. He plays by no rules. I remind you all the time, it's not the rule of law, it's the rule of Don. And we're standing up to that. We're responding to that. They fired the first shot, Texas. We wouldn't be here had Texas not done what they just did. Donald Trump didn't do what he just did. He went so far as to follow up and say that he didn't just want those 5 seats. He said he's, quote unquote, entitled to those 5 seats. Just pause and reflect on that. Everything should have just stopped there. President of the United States claiming he's entitled to 5 seats. That should put chills up your spine. Every Republican, not just Democrat and Independent, every American.
And of course, Trump had sent in the National Guard into California without a request from Governor Newsom. So Newsom recently called out Republican Congressman Mike Johnson and the crime rate in his state of Louisiana while mocking Trump's federal takeover of only Democratic-led cities.
If he is to invest in crime suppression, I hope the President of the United States would look at the facts. Just consider Speaker Johnson's state and district. Just look at the murder rate that's nearly 4 times higher than Californians in Louisiana. This is Speaker Johnson, 4x higher. I'm just offering, just again, you've not seen this on Fox News, so President may not be familiar with these facts. So I want to present some facts to the President of the United States, and imagine this is alarming to the President to learn these facts, particularly Speaker Johnson, who's been such a strong partner and ally in these efforts. So the carnage in Louisiana is well defined. Of course, Mississippi leads the nation as the number one murder state in America. Imagine this in particular may resonate with the President of the United States. It's got a murder rate, it's 180%. 180% higher than Los Angeles. It's interesting, LA has more people. These are all per capita numbers. More people than Los Angeles. Perhaps the president could deploy the National Guard in every corner of Mississippi.
But while Newsom is quick to take a humorous jab at Trump from time to time, he doesn't shy away from the dangers that he said this president presents.
You're not saying you think they're going to, Republicans are going to stop.
I don't think Donald Trump wants another election. You think for a second you want, I have two dozen Trump 2028 hats. His folks keep sending me.
And you think he's going to run again?
Who spends $200 million on a ballroom at their home and then leaves the house? This is serious, guys.
So it'll be Newsom Trump in 28.
This guy doesn't believe in free, fair elections. He tried to wreck this country. Were you there January 6th? I think Fox was. At least they were in a lawsuit. They seem to have lost any memory of that. Shareholders didn't. I mean, he tried to light democracy on fire. He dialed for 11, almost 12,000 votes. Now he's doing it in plain sight. And people said, oh, it's just Trump being Trump. People actually think this guy's serious about having another election? You think he's joking about 2028? You think when he brings foreign leaders to the Oval Office and he goes to the White House store, have you seen this? Anyone? Is it just me? And he shows them the 2028 hats? He's not being serious? Wake up. You or lose your country.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
And of course, while Newsom continues to troll the president, Trump attempts to do the same.
You have an incompetent governor there. You have an incompetent governor in California, Gavin. I know him very well. He's incompetent. He's a nice guy, looks good. Hi, everybody. How you doing? He's got some strange hand action going. I don't know what the hell his problem is. It's a little weird, to be honest. There's a little something shaky going on there.
So, Newsom is making an impression on both Trump and generally across social media. What do we really know about him? Well, to talk about that is Brett Bruen, president of the Global Situation Room and former director of global engagement at the White House during the Obama administration. Brett, good morning.
Good to be with you, Pat.
Now, let's talk about Gavin Newsom. I mean, I came across him. I knew him by name as the governor of California. But on the late night talk shows, particularly Jimmy Kimmel, he would kind of characterize the president as this hippie, or the governor rather, as this hippy-dippy governor of California, smoking weed out of it half the time and being fairly jolly. That's the caricature. What's the real man like?
Well, look, I think Newsom is a fighter, and he's showing the Democratic Party how to finally fight back after now 5.5 years of Trump in office. And the Democrats, quite frankly, Pat, have struggled to figure out what is an effective playbook against Trump. And while, you know, Newsom may not be popular everywhere, you know, we have this phrase here in the U.S., a coastal elite, and he perhaps embodies that a concept that most Americans have of, you know, someone sitting on the coast telling the rest of America how to live. What he's managed to do, and quite effectively, as you mentioned in the lead-in, is get under Republican skin and show some of, quite frankly, the fabrications and the falsehoods here.
Now, the idea of a Californian running for president, I mean, Kamala Harris, famously from California, almost did it, but not quite. Reagan was a Californian president, Nixon too. The idea, though, that you would find support across all the United States for someone like Newsom from California in the next presidential election in 2028, should it happen, is that too far-fetched for the Democrats?
I I don't think that Newsom is going to win the Democratic primary. I don't think that he is going to become the next president. I think he's showing the way. And what we are likely to see are governors like Andy Beshear in Kentucky, J.B. Pritzker in Illinois, Wes Moore here in Maryland, who are able to step into that space, because those are the kind of candidates that I think have a profile, that have an appeal. Now, again, important to note here, Pat, that we've already seen signs that Trump wants to put his vice president up as a successor. So the question then becomes, who is the best candidate to go head-to-head with J.D. Vance? And obviously, Tim Walz, who will be known to many listeners as the governor of Minnesota, he appealed to many Democrats, but he wasn't able to have that crossover appeal. Mm.
So for Newsom, he is showing the way. I mentioned earlier, I was listening to Pod Save America, and the guys were saying Democrats who try to copy Newsom, you know, why don't they get their own shtick? What he has done is he's shown it can be done. You can get under Republican skins, and particularly the president's skin, but they've got to find their own individual ways of doing it.
Oh, I would absolutely agree with that. But I think it's how he's doing it that is so important. And, you know, for Democrats who, you know, and critically important to note that, you know, he points out Trump isn't playing fair. And Democrats have long, I think, been handicapped by this belief that we had to play fair. And the politics of Donald Trump are a no holds barred. And, you know, going back all the way to January 6th of 2020, when we saw just how far he was willing to go. Now, you know, I still hold out hope for my country. I still hold out hope that we will have another election, but I'm not sure that it will be fair. I think the fact that you're seeing these efforts at trying to run a new census, to gerrymander, and to hand Republicans more congressional seats, all is very worrying. And, you know, going back to the founders of our country is precisely what they tried to avoid.
Now, the question of, and this was the exhortation of Michelle Obama, when they go low, we go high. What Newsom has done by pushing through the redistricting idea, now he hasn't gone through all the legislative hurdles to get that done in California, but he's countering the Texas move with his own move. That, in a sense, is going low, too. Is that what the Democrats have got to do?
Without question. And this is where I think, unfortunately, the politics of Obama is a bygone era. And we've got to be clear-eyed, both in terms of how to communicate. And, you know, I would encourage listeners to look at some of those social media posts from Newsom, because it is a marked departure from the communication style of most politicians. And yet it embraces that Trump talk that seems to break through. But then also, yes, on the legislative side, you have got to look at how Trump and the Republicans are trying to steal these other seats. And you've got to ensure that the Democrats, that democracy has a fighting chance.
Now, the dream team that you could look at from the Democrat side, I mean, when you look at what's going on in Trump's cabinet and the obeisance, the fawning that happens at every cabinet meeting, and quite frankly, the fairly low quality of the people that he has picked to do the various jobs, from health secretary in RFK to defense secretary in Hegseth. I mean, when you look at the options that the Democrats have in everyone from Pete Buttigieg to Gretchen Whitmer to Wes Moore to J.B. Pritzker, you mentioned earlier, Mark Kelly, Adam Schiff, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I mean, there is the makings of a dream team there that would look really brilliant by comparison with anything that Trump could muster. Why can't the Democrats get that dream team together?
Well, one, we continue to be a pretty fractious party. And, you know, this is where I think until The late fall of next year, when we start to coalesce around certain presidential candidates, we're not certain. Do we want to be the party of Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or do we want to be a more moderate party that perhaps Gavin Newsom and Andy Beshear want to put forward? Now, this being said, I think it is important for listeners in Ireland to recognize that Democrats are aware of the severity of the moment, and I don't think we will have a repeat of 2000, a repeat even of 2016, where you saw the fracturing of our party. You saw certain folks on the far left say, you know, we're not going to support the Democratic candidate because of what we feel are impurities. You know, we've got to get real here and understand that politics isn't perfect. It is about making progress.
Sure. The two things that occur to me, that you get working class voters voting for the party of billionaires. I mean, that just defies logic. Now, you know, we had our own version in a small way of that with Charlie Haughey, who was perceived to be a very wealthy man. Turned out all was not as it seemed, but he got votes in spades, even though he lived in a Georgian mansion in County Dublin. But there's something else about Charlie Haughey that I think is instructive for America, believe it or not. And that was at a time when we wanted to introduce contraception into Ireland. He decided that you could buy condoms, but only in a pharmacy, and you could get contraception only if you were married. But what he was doing was he was reading the room. And of course, once the jurisdiction for contraception was introduced, it progressed to the point that it's widely available for everybody. Teenagers can walk into a pharmacy and get it. So in other words, the art of the politically possible. Do you think that the left part of the Democratic Party, the far left part, if there is such a thing, just went too far too fast?
I do. And we've got to learn how to bring people along with us. Yes, you know, I remember sitting, Pat, in the Obama White House, and folks were talking about, you know, some of these social ideas. And while ideologically certainly aligned, you know, as a communication strategist, I know the steps you've got to go through in order to make that kind of progress. And too often, I think Democrats want to jump to the end and fail to recognize that, you know, when it comes to not only winning elections, but winning support for these kind of issues, you have got to go where people are. And if we're going to, in the next legislative elections in 2026 and then the presidentials in 2028, if we're going to win them, it's going to involve not, you know, disparaging Trump voters, not, you know, referring to them as deplorables, but figuring out how do we go to where that half of America is currently and help to lead them away from a pretty dark spot.
I mean, America does seem to be fairly fundamentally divided at the moment, because on the one hand, you've got people who regard Trump as the ultimate con man, the draft dodger, the racist, all of those things. They look at him. And then there are others who don't see that at all, or appear not to see it, or perhaps they are that themselves. But I don't believe that, you know, 50% of the American people are racist or gluttonous or greedy or con men and women. But somehow the scales have got to be taken from their eyes.
It's true. And yet I go back to that old movie, The American President, where the advisor finally shouts at the president and says, they don't care about you, they care about themselves. And that's the portion of America that I think we've got to appeal to, because last year at this time, a lot of Americans looked at their pocketbook, looked at the prospects for their family and said, you know what, Trump, he may be a con man, but he at least delivered an economy which felt better at the time. And I don't think that Biden and Harris did a good enough job of focusing on those pocketbook issues. So we got to learn that lesson. We got to get back to a place where we're appealing not to, you know, ideological aspirations, but really to the nuts and bolts of what Americans are focused on at the moment.
Are the Democrats therefore depending on Trump doing the job for them? In other words, his tariffs will cause inflation. You know, the price of cars will go up and all of those things which are predictable. There's a thing you may have come across it online about the number of postal services around the world who've stopped posting stuff to the United States. And it makes up something like 80% of everything that is imported into the United States comes from the various postal services around the world. So shelves will be empty, prices will be high. Effectively, Trump's own doing. Is that what the Democrats will require to get their boost that Trump undermines himself?
Well, and that's the soft underbelly of Trump for, you know, all of his projected power at the moment. You know, you can spin away a lot of things, but you cannot spin away 20-50% price increases. That's something that Americans feel that we saw last year in the election doesn't resonate when you say, well, the economy overall is growing. Yes, but I've got to pay twice as much for those grocery products. So I do think that is an issue that Trump is weak on. And quite frankly, I don't understand the logic, the political logic of him and the Republicans pursuing this. He may be able to defy political gravity. He can even defy legal gravity here at the moment in the U.S. I don't think he can defy economic gravity.
And finally, you mentioned that J.D. Vance is likely to be the anointed successor. You're not going along with the idea that Trump simply won't go. That there are many conspiracy theorists, and they're not as wacky as you might think. When you send the National Guard and the military into democratic cities, that you're fomenting, in effect, a civil war, however serial and low level that might be, and therefore you can suspend the midterms, you can suspend the presidential election, and he stays there. If you discount that, and it might be hard to discount, and J.D. Vance is the candidate, who do you think could take him on the Democratic side?
Well, you know, it's interesting. While we talk about a lot of these governors as potential prospects, what Trump did well and what the Democrats would be well served to do is to look beyond the traditional array of political characters. I mean, and we've got the likes of Mark Cuban, the billionaire and host of Shark Tank, who quite frankly, has a lot of those qualities that made Trump appealing. I think that kind of candidate coming in and helping shake up the Democrats' message and their messenger is what we need to win elections. But that being said, you know, we here in the United States have a very long primary process, and we'll see who ultimately rises to the surface.
One final comment you might address. Outside of L.A. and the San Francisco Bay Area, Newsom is as despised in California as Hillary Clinton was. He ruined San Francisco as mayor and is ruling California as governor. I think that probably meant to be ruining. I lived in San Francisco for 12 years, and I watched the rot and ruin from Newsom policies.
Yeah, look, I think Newsom and California Democrats are going to have a tough time with their track record. And he has certainly tried to tack more towards the center. But at the end of the day, as I said at the beginning, Pat, I don't think he's the candidate that's going to win a national election for Democrats. But he's certainly showing that we can win some of these political points.
Brett Bruin, once again, thank you very much for joining us with that commentary on Governor Gavin Newsom of California.